You are listening to A Scary State, and this week we're doing things a little differently. So, Joe?
Yes, Lauren?
Let's get scary. All right, hello, everyone. So today we're doing things, like I said in the intro, a little bit differently. Today I have my husband, Joe, with me. Say hi.
How's everybody doing today?
So, unfortunately, COVID somehow crept its way into our house, and both Joe and I tested positive for it, so we are quarantining. Which is why I'm not recording with Nora this week. And I have both of the microphones, so there's no way we could have done it any differently. And instead of just having kind of a week where we did nothing, I decided we're going to do something anyways. So what I wanted to cover this week, I wasn't really sure. And so I asked Nora. She came up with an idea. Hi, Nora. And then Joe told me that he was interested in the cryptid type things.
Yes, very interested.
So we're going to talk about the Wendigo.
Before we begin, should we wish everybody a happy holidays?
Yes.
From wherever they are. Like Lauren was saying, we did catch COVID, but it gave us an opportunity for our first Christmas married. We got to spend the day, just the two of us and our dog, Roy. We hope that everybody out there is staying safe, COVID conscious, and hope you guys had all good a holiday.
And a good new year as well. Let's get into this creature.
Yes, let's get into it.
The creature is said to reside in the United States and in Canada, so mostly in the East Coast forests of Canada, the Great Plains regions of the U.S., and the Great Lakes regions of the U.S. and Canada. So Kenora, Ontario, Canada has actually been given the title of Wendigo Capital of the World. This creature goes by many names: the Wendigo, Wendigo, Wittigo, Wetiko, and Weetugo. It is a mythological creature from the First Nations and from the subgrouping of the Algonquian.
It's called the Weetigo because when people say it, they say, Weetigo. Gotta get the hell out of here.
You are such a dork. So the Wichugi is another popular being that may be a parallel to the Wendigo. The Wichugi appears in the legends of the Athabascan people who reside in the Northwest Pacific Coast. It is also cannibalistic, but I believe it isn't as evil, as it is, quote, characterized as enlightened with ancestral light.
That sounds pretty.
So, back to the Wendigo. It is said to be an evil or malevolent spirit, and the description seems to be present among many different belief systems and cultures. But overall, it is known that the Wendigo is malevolent, cannibalistic, and a supernatural being. Usually, they are associated with winter and the north. This association also relates them to coldness, famine, and starvation. And so, just a little, I guess, trigger warning heads up, I will mention cannibalistic things throughout this episode just a little bit, just touching on it, so just a heads up on that.
So be warned.
Yeah, so be warned. So when you picture the Wendigo, what do you picture?
Well, I'm mainly going off of, if you guys have any Supernatural fans out there, the television show Supernatural, I'm a huge fan of it. I got Lauren to watch the whole series with me, and I believe the Wendigo was in episode 2 or 3 of that. So I kind of base what I think it looks like off of that. It's a creature that stands like a human, but it has very long toes and long fingers. Yeah, I don't really know how else to describe it, but I will say it's funny because Supernatural, the episode takes place in the United States, but the show Supernatural films in Canada. So
it is usually a human-like beast with horns or antlers who walks on its hind legs. While this isn't the way that it has been described in indigenous cultures, it got these antlers and horns from Hollywood and how they represent the animal in film. They often label human and beast hybrids with the antlers and horns as a Wendigo. Basil H. Johnston, who's an Ojibwe teacher and scholar from Ontario, gave a description of one of these creatures. Quote, "The Wendigo is gaunt to the point of emaciation, its desiccated skin pulled tightly over its bones. With its bones pushing out against its skin, its complexion, the ash gray of death, and its eyes pushed back deep into their sockets, the Wendigo looked like a gaunt skeleton recently disinterred from the grave. What lips it had were tattered and bloody. Unclean and suffering from separation of the flesh, the Wendigo gave off a strange and eerie odor of decay and decomposition, of death and corruption." So in many cultures, excluding Algonquian cultures, the Wendigo is described as being a giant, towering over even the tallest of men. Algonquian legend describes it as, quote, "a giant with a heart of ice. Sometimes it is thought to be entirely made of ice. Its body is skeletal and deformed with missing toes and lips." Well, the Ojibwa describe it as, quote, A large creature as tall as a tree with a lipless mouth and jagged teeth. Its breath was a strange hiss, its footprints full of blood, and it ate any man, woman, or child who ventured into its territory. And those were the lucky ones. Sometimes the Wendigo chose to possess a person instead, and the luckless individual became a Wendigo himself, hunting down those who had once loved and feasted upon their flesh. So generally and overall, across cultures, they have glowing eyes, long yellowed fangs, overly long teeth, and terrible claws. Sometimes they are described as having yellowing, sagging skin, or maybe covered with matted hair. It can be a giant humanoid who has a heart of ice. And they are powerful and have many skills. So they're near-perfect hunters and are very knowledgeable and aware of their territory. They can also control the weather through dark magic. But this ability comes with age. The Wendigo only gets more powerful with age. With age, it'll gain the ability to call upon the darkness before sunset. It will also gain the ability to manipulate other creatures that are in the forest. It can call on predators and command them to strike. It gets faster and stronger and soon will gain the ability to heal. Hmm. And they are also very smart, so they can unlock and open doors. So you're not even safe in your own house if you're trying to hide from one of these things. Hmm. One of their scarier hunting abilities is that they're able to mimic voices. They can mimic voices of the loved ones you may have lost in the woods. They can mimic the voices of people out in the woods who are trying to help and find you. So the scariest thing, it's impossible to know if the voice you're hearing calling out to you and helping you in the woods is an actual real person or a Wendigo. It is also believed that they can survive partial dismemberment and even auto-cannibalism. And so auto-cannibalism is kind of, you know, where you eat yourself.
Mm.
Lodi Chichoguai Marsden, an ethnographer from the Chippewas of Rama First Nation, collected a story that says, quote, and so this is an interesting story, so I'm going to read it, you know, for words. One time, long ago, a big Wendigo stole an Indian boy, but the boy was too thin, so the Wendigo didn't eat him up right away, but he traveled with the Indian boy, waiting for him till he got fat. The Wendigo had a knife, and he'd cut the boy on the hand to see if he was fat enough to eat, but the boy didn't get fat. They traveled too much. One day, they came to an Indian village, and the Wendigo sent the boy to the Indian village to get some things for him to eat. He just gave the boy so much time to go there and back. The boy told the Indians that the Wendigo was near them and showed them his hand where the Wendigo cut him to see if he was fat enough to eat. They heard the Wendigo calling the boy. He said to the boy, "Hurry up, don't tell lies to those Indians." All of these Indians went to where the Wendigo was and cut off his legs. They went back again to see if he was dead. He wasn't dead. He was eating the juice or marrow from the inside of the bones of his legs that were cut off. The Indian asked the Wendigo if there had been any fat on them. He said, "You bet there is. I have eaten lots of Indians. No wonder they are fat." The Indians then killed him and cut him to pieces. The end of this giant Wendigo.
Hmm. For as smart as you say they are, it probably wasn't best for him to talk back to the Indians.
Right. Ones who knew how to, you know, take care of them.
Right.
So, it is also known, though, that these Wendigos have some weaknesses. The main weakness they have is their eyesight. If there is no movement, they have trouble seeing something. So, remaining perfectly still, if you're being hunted, may be one of your only defenses.
It's like a T-Rex.
Like a T-Rex.
Yeah. You see Jurassic Park, you gotta stay still.
Okay, yeah. Valid. So they're described as always being hungry, so they are associated to gluttony, but they are always extremely thin due to starvation. But how does this work? Well, whenever they eat another person, which is what it does, it will grow in proportion to the meal it ate, meaning that no matter how much it eats, it will always grow and therefore never be full. So because of that, it seems to be the embodiment of excess, greed, and gluttony, constantly searching for new victims for it to consume as it is never satisfied with just one. In some cultures, it actually lures its victims to them through taunting or even through threats, or that ability to mimic voices.
So how are they made? Are they bred? Are they just born?
Well, there is one story that goes. The Wendigo is once a lost hunter, and he was lost during the worst time. It was a brutally cold winter, and the man was starving. Having no other place to turn to for food, the man resorted to cannibalism. He feasted on another man's flesh, which transformed him into a crazed man-beast, forever searching the forest for his next victim to eat, to try to fill the hunger he would forever feel. So that myth says that Wendigos were created when cannibalism was resorted to by humans, even as a means to survive. So that reminded me kind of the Donner Party, the one who like crashed, well, not crashed, but like was going through the mountains and got stuck there from the snow and all the grossness that they had to do there.
Yeah.
But one can also become one of these creatures simply by being around them for too long. So overall, these humans who let greed consume them are those who turn into a Wendigo. The myth was used to encourage moderation and cooperation within the tribe. But others say that the Wendigo picks a person and slowly tortures them as they take over the person's mind and body, possessing them. It begins with the victim smelling a strong odor, one that only they can smell. Then they are plagued by horrible nightmares, nightmares that keep the person from wanting to sleep, their sanity slowly melting away due to their sleep-deprived minds. Soon, the victim will experience an excruciating burning sensation in their legs and feet, sometimes accompanied by an unseasonable chill. This usually leads them to strip down and run through the forest completely naked, quote, like a madman. This is typically the last time that the person with Wendigo fever is ever seen. But a few have returned from the forest, never as they were before they left, though. They come back, quote, utterly insane. Those who fall under the Wendigo spell often experience feelings of insatiable greed and or hunger, the desire to cannibalize other humans, and even the desire to commit murder. So, that brings us to the Wendigo psychosis. So the Wendigo isn't only around in myths and legends. In modern psychiatry, there is actually a form of psychosis known as Wendigo psychosis. This is characterized by symptoms such as an intense craving for human flesh, accompanied by an intense fear of becoming a cannibal. So that's someone actually knowing that they're, like, craving a human, but not wanting to eat them for fear that they will become a cannibal if they do so, which they would. So the initial symptoms are poor appetite, nausea, and vomiting. The person then has the delusion that they are actually being transformed into a Wendigo.
Yeah, that sounds a lot like lycanthropy.
What's that?
It's basically the delusion that somebody gets that believes they're turning into an animal or are an animal, mainly a wolf. So just starts, like, they start acting irrationally. They start acting like an animal, whether that be howling at the moon or eating raw meat. So it sounds pretty similar.
Do you know if that happens in, like, certain cultures?
I'm not sure.
Because this psychosis is described as a culture-bound syndrome, which is when certain symptoms only appear within a certain culture or society. So I wonder if it's something similar to that.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
In some First Nation countries, which are those communities of the indigenous people, the symptoms of this psychosis are also accompanied by insatiable greed and destruction of the environment. This psychosis was reported in humans who became possessed by the Wendigo spirit. Usually after they were in a situation of needing food, but having no other choices besides resorting to cannibalism. So this was reported as early back as 1661. The Jesuit Relations reported the documentation of this cannibalism. So this group enters the lake area of a tribe. They were supposed to meet up with the tribe, but as they arrived, they learned news that the tribe had died the previous winter in a very strange manner. They had all succumbed to an illness that was new to these men, but an illness that was common among the tribes. Quote, they were afflicted with neither lunacy, hypochondria, nor frenzy, but have combination of all these species of disease, which affects their imaginations and causes them a more than canine hunger, end quote. This affliction caused those affected to become ravenous for human flesh, so much so that they would attack women, children, and even other men. But no matter how much they ate, their hunger was never satisfied. They learned that the only way to cure those afflicted was to kill them, which is why the whole tribe was eventually killed. Many cultures would have to kill the individual. But in Cree folklore, treatment was available, and it involved ingesting fatty animal meats or drinking animal grease. Those who received the treatment would vomit ice during this process. Not very surprised that they would vomit something during this process, because that sounds absolutely disgusting. So there is actually another famous story of this psychosis. This is the case of Swift Runner. He was a Plains Cree trapper from Alberta. So this takes place in the winter of 1878. Swift Runner and his family were starving. Food was scarce, and unfortunately, because of the lack of food, his eldest son died. There were emergency food supplies located at Hudson Bay Company Post, which was only about 25 miles away. Which it says only, but that's, like, yeah, kind of really far.
Yeah, it's pretty far.
But instead of making the trip to the food, Swift Runner butchered and ate his wife and his five remaining children. Because he killed and then consumed all of the remains of those he killed, while being so close to a food source, it was believed that he didn't resort to cannibalism as a last resort, but rather he was a man with Wendigo psychosis. When authorities got him, he finally admitted to what he had done to his family. But he claimed that he had been possessed by a Wendigo. But in the end, he was sentenced to execution by the authorities at Fort Saskatchewan. Another well-known case is that of Jack Fiddler, who was a chief and medicine man with the Oji Cree tribe. He was actually known for his powers with defeating these creatures. But sometimes, his methods for defeating them were killing those who had the psychosis. So in 1907, Fiddler and his brother were arrested for homicide by the Canadian authorities. 14 counts of homicide, that is. Shortly after being arrested, Jack Fiddler committed suicide. Joseph was tried and finally sentenced to life in prison. In the end, he was granted a pardon but died in jail just 3 days later without ever learning of this pardon. So that kind of sucks.
Well, do the crime, do the time.
Yeah, but he got pardoned, and then he died right before he was pardoned. Well, learned of his pardon.
Right.
This phenomenon is a huge debate among ethnographers, psychologists, and anthropologists. Some believe that is nothing more than a myth passed down as each generation only takes it at face value. But others debate that it is a true, factual, historical phenomenon with eyewitness accounts and everything. But by the 20th century, Wendigo psychosis cases decreased drastically, mainly as Boreal Algonquian people started to come into contact with more European ideologies and a more sedentary lifestyle. The 10th revision of the International Statistical Classification of Disease and Related Health Problems states that the Wendigo is a culture-specific disorder. In that revision, it is described as, quote, rare historic accounts of cannibalistic obsession. Symptoms include depression, homicidal or suicidal thoughts, and a delusional compulsive wish to eat human flesh. Some controversial new studies question the syndrome's legitimacy, claiming cases were actually a product of hostile accusations invented to justify the victim's ostracism or execution, end quote. This word, or at least versions of this word, appear in many different Native American languages, meaning that it is already very popular and very well known. So what can be done about this psychosis? Well, among three tribes, during times of famine, a satirical ceremonial dance is performed to really reinforce the seriousness of the legends of the Wendigo. This ceremony is known as Wendigo Kanzahim Owen. Masks would be worn and those performing would dance backwards around a drum. And I'm sorry for the pronunciation of that. There's no way I'm going to know how to pronounce that ceremony. So not many of these ceremonies have been reported, but the last known one was performed in the United States within the Leech Lake Indian Reservation in northern Minnesota at Lake Wendigo of Star Island of Case Lake. Long name for a place.
Yeah, it's a mouthful.
So how can these things be defeated or killed? So I mentioned how, among other cultures and tribes, that the only way to get rid of one is to kill it. And not surprisingly, it doesn't sound like an easy feat. While some legends say that fire would be the weapon of choice, you need to somehow set its entire body on fire. Or, if you are still somehow able to get this close to one, you will want to use a silver stake to stab its cold, ice heart. Some also believe that a silver bullet may work. So kind of similar to like a werewolf with the silver and stuff.
Yeah.
So, you've stabbed it, right? It may appear dead, but don't be fooled just yet. First, you have to take the heart and lock it in a silver box. Then you take an axe with silver plating and chop off its arms, legs, and head. Salt the body, burn it until it's completely ash, and let the wind scatter the remains. Then bury that box with the heart in a graveyard that is attached to a church. It reminds me of Yzma and the Emperor's New Groove. I'll put that box in a box, and I'll put that box in a bigger box. So that is really all you can do to kill one, so good luck.
Yeah.
And naturally, this creature has made its way into popular culture. A short story titled The Wendigo was written by Joe Nazar in 1910. Other movies have mentioned this creature. Stephen King's novel Pet Cemetery was inspired by the Wendigo. One of the characters is the personification of evil, which comes from this lore. Marvel Comics also has a character who is a monster who is the result of a curse that afflicts those who have committed acts of cannibalism. This affliction first appeared in The Incredible Hulk number 162, which came out in April of 1973. Did you know about that?
I did not. Do you know what the character's name is?
I do not.
Oh, I will look that up.
But it was
this.
The Incredible Hulk issue 162. And then, like you said, it showed up on Supernatural. It is also depicted in the new 2021 film called Antlers. I won't go more into that one because I'm sure people, myself included, haven't seen it yet. So I didn't want to see any spoilers. So I wanted to find some stories about people who have experienced a Wendigo or had, like, you know, some weird thing in the woods. And I didn't find much. There were some stories on YouTube that you can look up and listen to. One was like a 5-hour episode, so I didn't look at that. But I didn't find much, but one of the things that people usually thought they saw was a deer, so until they realized that it wasn't a deer. So that led me down the road of the not deer. So I just want to talk about those for a second. So I'm not going to talk too much about these creatures. It would be enough to be its own episode, so it may become its own episode in the future.
Ooh.
But a brief description, they are animals that resemble a deer, but are just off enough that it gives you pause. So they're mainly located and known for being in Virginia around the Appalachian Mountains, but some have seen them as far south as South Carolina, as far north as, like, you know, New England area. Some people have described the not deer they saw as having predatory eyes when normal deer shouldn't have eyes like that, or their knees bend the wrong way, all things that just make you think it's not a deer. Some people will compare them to a Wendigo with the antlers and just a feeling of things being off. There's another creature who is super creepy to talk about, so I'm only going to say its name once, but the skinwalkers, they also have the same kind of, you see them as an animal, but there's just something off about them being an animal. Again, like a deer who has human eyes or something like that. So they all kind of fall into like the same realm of just being animals that aren't the right kind of animals. And also, when I looked it up, it said that you shouldn't say its name a lot, like the Wendigo, and you shouldn't write its name down a lot, because that is how you draw, like, you give it energy. And
oh, good.
Energy.
Glad we're doing this episode. Let's lock all the doors.
Well, they can unlock the doors. So that's, you know.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Let's barricade the doors. Roy, get ready.
So by saying their name and talking about them, it can bring them to you, but good. Only if you believe in them, which is fun because last night, I didn't tell you. I don't think I told you. I had a dream of them, and in my dream, I kept saying their name, and I woke up, like, thinking about it, and I was like, ew. So, yay.
Thank you for sharing.
But so the most important things to remember if you ever come face-to-face with one is don't make a noise, don't move a muscle, and whatever you do, don't make eye contact. I tried to look up why. It just wouldn't tell me. Just don't make eye contact.
Not for, you know, for the best. Just yep. don't look him in the eyes.
Probably. And it is still believed by many that the Wendigos still roam the woods and prairies of Canada and northern Minnesota. And remember, it's usually not a deer. Mm. So that is our cryptid thing that we got to talk about today.
Thank you for having me as a guest. I learned a lot about those things. I'm not going to say their name.
Yeah, right. We probably shouldn't talk about them anymore after my 2 days of research on it. But yeah, thank you for coming on. Obviously, I miss recording with Nora, but you were fun to record with.
Thank you. It was my first time. I was a little nervous. If the fans want to see Joe again.
Oh my God.
Like and subscribe.
Like and subscribe.
Comments. Yeah. More comments. Say Joe. Ask for Joe.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, did you know actually that now, if you're listening to us on Spotify, you can actually rate us on Spotify.
Ooh.
So please, anywhere you find us on any social media, we can be found at A Scary State Podcast. Please like us, review us, follow us on all the social medias. If you have any scary stories to share, please send it to ascarystatepodcast@gmail.com. And I think that's about all we have. So again, this is a little short episode, but just wanted to give you something to hold you over till Nora and I are recording again. So stay scary.
Stay safe.